We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
It is officially spring. Daffodils have bloomed for the last few weeks, and now it's time to really get down to gardening for 2024. Horticulturist Erica Jo Schaefer is on The Spark today to talk about bulbs, getting a start on vegetable gardens, mulching, and seeding the lawn. Erica Jo, welcome to the program.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, you put something on Facebook about, I saw a picture of dandelions.
Oh, no. Did I do that?
Like something that was edible. And so I got to wondering, uh-oh, is she going to be bringing me something she picked off her lawn? Now, you do have food. We usually do this in the second half, and we will do it.
I know, but you're already like, what's that?
Because yeah, it looks good, doesn't it? It does. And I don't see dandelions, though.
Well, that's because I put little yellow petals. I plucked the petals out of the flower.
From your lawn?
From my garden, yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, my organic garden, yes.
I don't have one dandelion in my yard yet.
Well, you know what? They close up at night, and then they open back up in the sunshine. So I actually had to pluck one this morning that was still closed up. It saves its pollen, right? And then as the sun comes and the bees and the pollinators, then they open up to bask and provide landing pads for the pollinators.
On the comment section on your Facebook post, I saw there was one of our listeners, or mm-hmm. I assume one of our listeners,
of course,
but someone who's a fan of yours, and you have so many of them, who said that he had dandelions all year long.
Well, they're evergreen. So, yeah, he would have had the foliage available for salads all year long, or sautéed with garlic.
Okay, you went right to the food thing. That's not
what I was thinking about. I know, but I want, like, I don't know, people think they're evil or something. My greatest disappointment at this, like, as we came up to this, is I hashtagged I love dandelions, and there was less than 1,000 posts, is what Facebook told me.
Really?
I was like, what? People, start hashtagging I love dandelions.
Well, it's
like, look up medicinal value. We're paying, what, $6, $7 for baby spinach, and instead we could go out and just get the most nutritious green right out of our yard.
Dandelions are as nutritious as
spinach. They're so nutritious.
So you mean Popeye could have eaten dandelions rather than spinach?
Totally, totally he could have.
And olive oil would have...
Put olive oil on them, right? Okay. Balsamic vinegar.
All right.
A little bit of wild violet.
Well, let's talk about gardening. The daffodils this year, I don't know, maybe I'm noticing them more because you were being on today, but they have just... I see them everywhere, and they're gorgeous this year.
They're so gorgeous. You know, with this long cold period at night that we're having, it's really helping them stay longer, stay longer, stay longer. Plus, that's one of the bulbs that the deer don't eat. They love tulips, but they'll leave daffodils alone.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like, you might see them more in areas where there's nothing else going on.
So you're pro dandelion.
I'm pro dandelion.
But anti-deer.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
You
have called them evil on this program.
Have I said that out loud?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. They just eat so much of the ornamental stuff. And as a designer, it's really hard to navigate around them. I have a good list, though.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I like the yellow daffodils much more than the white ones. The white ones are kind of boring.
Yeah, well. And the yellow ones with the orange cups are cool. There's so many varieties.
I know.
They're neat.
All right, so let's talk about bulbs, though.
Sure.
Okay, so bulbs. What do we need to know? It is next week is the first week in April.
Yep. So when your daffodils get done flowering, if you've noticed your clumps aren't flowering as much anymore, it's because they're busy down underneath the earth making small bulbs, and then they're all competing with each other. So after they get done flowering, and just as the foliage starts to yellow, and this is pretty much on daffodils, snowdrops, crocuses, hyacinths, you can actually dig your clump up and divide them and have more, and then put them right back in the ground. Don't store them in your garage. Don't wait till autumn to plant them. dig them up and put them right in. And then as a tip, because of the way the action of our shovels go, you know, it's radio and I'm doing all this animation. I just want to say.
I describe that from time
good.
To time.
Thank
but
you.
Go
thank
ahead.
You. I'm
go
animated. Our shovels go in at a 45 degree angle and often we would slice the bulbs and then they're dead. So you mm-hmm. have to really hold your shovel up straight and go into the ground straight and go all the way around the clump and then just like lift it up. And then you can put bulbs back in, like five in a clump. Find your friends, your garden friends, or people who are like, oh, those daffodils. Like, give them some and, like, pass them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But tulips usually only last for about 3 years anyways if the deer don't eat them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no sense in messing with those.
How long do daffodils last?
Forever. Like, you
They're
can
forever.
See old yeah. farmhouses that aren't even there anymore with daffodils
yeah,
still blooming.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good, yeah, that's a, they're a good investment.
I saw someone, one of my neighbors the other day, I had to do a double take. Azalea bush was blooming.
That is weird. It's probably a PJM rhododendron, which has small leaves like an azalea. Was it like a weird kind of
light purple? Well, I was driving by in the car,
yeah,
and I just saw the purple flowers.
Yeah,
and
purple flowers. Yep, that yeah. would be a PJM rhododendron, so it looks
okay.
like an azalea. But yeah, they're the super early blooming.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so where are we right now? I mean, we had a lot of rain last week.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of sunshine as well. Temperatures have been, okay, this week we're in the 50s, but last week it was cold. The cherry blossoms, I got to say that the fruit blossoms are kind of worried about because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have warm weather and then it's gotten into the 20s overnight. But just kind of how would you describe where we are right now?
Well, we're on the landing strip, you know, we're coming in for good spring stuff. And this is how it goes, you know. We're going to have the cold nights. We're going to have the warmer days. And the plants, you know, the plants adjust. Unfortunately, I saw all the magnolias, the early flowering magnolias, all the flowers are brown now because of those cold nights.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's going to happen and sometimes it isn't. And that's just the life of a gardener.
Like, well, it's a shame because
ride.
They were so pretty, those magnolias.
Yes, and now we have forsythias and now we have the next wave of whatever, the daffodils that are catching your attention. Yep.
Yeah, I'm looking out the window
yep.
here.
A huge hedge of forsythia.
I mean, that what you describe always lets me know that spring is coming, and it's very close. All right, so we were talking before we went on the air about mulching,
mm-hmm.
and I saw an article that said that now is the time to order your mulch. Now, this was from a national publication, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't saying what part of the country that you should be ordering mm-hmm. your mulch. You disagree. It's not time to order mulch.
I think it's too cold. The ground is too cold. And when you put your mulch on this early, and especially after all this rain we've had, you actually trap the cold and the rainwater that hasn't drained away yet underneath that mulch. So then you can get rotting both from the cold and from the water.
Mm-hmm. So when do you think is a good time to order mulch?
Well, again, you can order it whenever you want to. It's
well,
the
true,
delivery
true,
thing,
true.
Right? I would guess that we're going to want to wait at least another 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, once your neighbor starts doing it, then the whole neighborhood's like, oh, my God, they beat me to it. And then they've got to, you know, like my neighbor was mowing his lawn this morning. I took him some cookies. I was like, all right.
You haven't mowed your lawn yet?
I haven't what?
You haven't mowed your lawn yet?
My lawn is a swamp right now. I couldn't mow it if
really?
I wanted to. Yeah.
See, I mowed for the first time last week, and I have to admit that my neighbor across the street did it, so there was some peer pressure.
Yeah, there's this whole instigate. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for the other neighbor on the other side to mow now that I've mowed.
Now that you've mowed, exactly.
Right.
See, like, look at how y'all act.
All right, so getting back to mulch.
Mm-hmm.
You have a favorite kind of mulch.
My favorite mulch is pine bark. Mini nuggets, because I like the texture and I like that they last for a really long time, like a really long time, like 3 years, they still look good. And you can, as far as I know, you can only get them in bags. But when you price it out, usually you're going to find it's darn close to getting bulk mulch. It's easier for me to drag bags than the wheelbarrow because I have so much garden, although I use leaf compost in most of my garden.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually buy mulch anymore.
Mm. All right, but most people do.
Most people do, right. So I prefer that first. And secondly, I would prefer bark mulch, which you have to ask, like, is it bark mulch or is it wood? Because wood usually looks good for about 3 weeks to a month, and then it goes to that nasty gray color, and that's why they dye it, right? And then, like, what do they dye it with? Is that good for your plants, or how long is the dye going to last? Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of like things. And then, you know, again, here we are at mulch volcanoes. Like, do you even need mulch? You know, like sometimes people get mulch that's like, even in the regular garden beds, you know, suddenly your mulch is 4 and 6 inches deep. And when we do get rain in the summertime, it can't even get through the mulch to the root. So maybe you want to just rake it, save yourself some money and fluff it up and re-rake it so it looks good again and ride for another year.
You said that the pine bark mulch looks good even 3 years later. What about helping the plants grow?
Well, it's more for moisture retention than and weed control. Like once once you cover it, but it's not breaking down and providing a lot for the soil.
Mm-hmm. What about the wood mulch that maybe has been dyed? I mean, obviously, that's for weed control as well.
For sure.
But does one work better for weed control than the
other?
No,
once you cover bare ground, like if you have areas in your garden that doesn't have mulch on it, you're gonna notice you're getting more weeds in those garden, mm-hmm. in that part of the garden. But for me, mostly, it's like when you get the wood mulches, whether they're dyed or if they're straight wood, termites love straight wood. They don't necessarily love bark. So the bark's going to cost you a little bit more, but you're kind of asking for it if you just keep using wood mulch, shredded wood. So, you know, ask when you're buying it, like, what is it, bark mulch or is it wood?
What are your thoughts on plastic underneath?
No, absolutely not. The plastic underneath stops water from getting to the roots. It stops insects, worms, and things like that from getting to the top. It stops the organic matter, any fertilizer you put on. No, no, no. And I'm not a big promoter of the fabric either. You know, we put fabric on to keep the weeds down, but what are the weeds? Like, let's think about this traveling dandelion seed. It's going to land on top of the mulch. It's not going to land under the fabric. So that's another thing. When you put the fabric down, you know, maybe it's effective for getting things to not go the first year pop up, but then all the weed seeds are going to land on top.
So when I'm planting a tree that has the fabric on the ball, on the roots.
That all has to come off.
All has to come off.
Yep.
It's hard to do sometimes, depending on the size of the tree.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you would do is you first of all make sure that the tree isn't too deep in that root ball. You know, you might use a hand claw tool and excavate and make sure where the trunk stops and the roots start is ground level. Like, don't assume it's not. 2 inches too deep can kill a tree. And then once it's in the hole, then you can cut that. All the burlap away, or, you know, cut the wires off, because then if the root ball starts to fall apart, you can shore it up with the soil that you're going to put back in the hole. Mm. But you should try to remove all of that.
All right. So we have our monthly, snack? Would this be a snack?
I don't know. Embellishment to our gathering here. Treat
for
Scott.
Okay, you're a poet too, so make that rhyme.
Yeah, anyways, I might be able to.
So, okay, now is the time of the program when we have a treat, or what else do we want to call it?
I think treats for Scott.
Treats for Scott.
Yeah,
okay.
Now my husband tries all of these out first. We have to just make sure.
And what did he say?
I got the I don't think he wanted to share them. I think that's what it was.
Oh, you sure?
Because he went for the second one pretty fast.
All right, what are we looking at?
So what we have is strawberry, black raspberry shortcake cookies, topped with cream cheese icing and garden weeds.
What garden weeds?
We have wild violet, and we have dead nettle, the little tiny lavender flower, and dandelion petals.
Okay, all right, so Yay. Here we go. I'm on the violet side, by the way.
I see that, but you're still going to eat the dandelion petals, babe.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good.
Yeah?
All right.
Yeah, yeah. And the black raspberries are actually from my own garden. I picked them last year and put them in the freezer.
Okay, so why don't you talk while I chew? Talk a little bit about fertilizer.
So I enjoy, myself, in my garden, I like the organic fertilizers. So Espoma is a big brand of organic fertilizers, and there may be more, but that's the one that I'm most familiar with. I appreciate that they are lower in their initial impact and that they last longer. You know, the chemical fertilizers, when the chemical hits the soil, you know, it immediately starts to release, and sometimes you can do too much fertilizer and actually burn your roots. And that, and it doesn't last as long. So again, for your money, the Espoma stuff, holly tone, a lot of people know holly tone, garden tone, flower tone, rose tone, all the tones. You know, you might do it three times a whole year and just scatter handfuls around the plants.
Are more people going organic over chemical?
I think so. I think that finally there's some higher awareness about how we each are making a difference in how we treat, you know, treat the earth, treat Mother Earth, the planet, your own little speck of heaven.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, why? Why are more people going organic?
Because they're starting to learn why they want to be organic, like what things are being sprayed on our food, how the lawn care chemicals are, we're breathing it. They say that the weed and feed stuff can still be detected in the air 3 weeks after you put it on. You know, and again, we're trying to kill dandelions, and anybody, all y'all. That's from when I lived in Florida.
Kelly Clarkson,
you know, look
says
up,
y'all all the time.
Does she?
Yeah, every commercial.
Oh, awesome,
is,
awesome.
Y'all, hi, y'all. It sounds fake.
What, for me? Did it work?
It was okay.
Yeah, Kai's okay. All right.
Good.
Well, because I was talking about dandelions. That's why you're being that way.
Right.
But look up medicinal value of dandelions and let your mind be changed.
Mm.
Like we're killing dandelions, right? And we're buying pharmaceuticals and baby spinach at $6 a bag.
And I also think that there are more people aware that what you put on your lawn doesn't stop there.
Right.
That it
goes
washes
into
away,
our waterways.
It goes into the waterway, into the Chesapeake Bay.
Yep.
And so, you know, you're not only fertilizing your lawn, but you are fertilizing the underwater grasses everything else.
And dandelions aren't native, so it's interesting to think that the you know, as people came across from Europe and wherever they came from, that it was such an important food source and medicinal type thing, they brought it with them.
Which Europeans brought that?
I mean, the whole country, I'm sure. Everybody loves dandelions over there. The whole continent, sure.
Yeah. I didn't realize
My ancestors, I'm sure, had dandelion seeds in their pockets. I'm positive.
In their pockets. It's a good thing they weren't patted down at the airport.
Yeah, right? Well,
you know, what are you doing with these dandelions? lawns and time to seed. When is it time to seed?
Well, it's actually better to overseed your lawn in autumn, but it's about the right time to do it. You don't want to do it before a heavy rainstorm, of course, because then it's going to all wash away. You know, just within a couple weeks, I would say, if you're going to do it, because you want them to get roots growing before the summer heat comes on.
Overseeding.
So when you have bare patches in your lawn, it's a good idea to overseed, because weeds are opportunistic, which in my garden they can be, but not everybody digs that. So the weed seeds will land in those bare areas and start. So you can overseed and increase the competition for the space.
Best way to seed?
I just throw handfuls.
Oh, you don't have a...
No, I have a small lawn. Little by little, my lawn is going away.
So
it's all plants.
So you're just doing hand.
I'm just scattering it like I'm feeding the birds. Yep.
Maybe you are.
Maybe I am. Yes. Many people put it down too heavy. So, you know, scattering it with your hands is a great way to know that you're not.
Planning for this year's garden.
Well, you know, we get spring fever and we go to the garden centers and we buy things like crazy, and then we get home and
we start talking about that in February.
Where are we going to put all this? So it's a good idea to just have an idea. It's like, I'm going to need a tree here that's only going to get 15 feet tall and 15 feet wide, and it's got to do sun. Or, you know, I need a shrub here that only gets 3x3 and it's only part shade. Mm. You know, and start to like understand what it is you need and then go find the plant that does that.
You know, one of the things that we're doing to keep the waterways cleaner and it's better for the environment, it's planting trees along creeks.
Mm-hmm.
As I used to say when I was growing up, cricks.
Cricks, me
yeah,
too.
Yeah. But those trees look like they're planted so close together.
Well, and, you know, it's for their erosion control.
I know.
And they're all competing with each other. So sooner or later, maybe some of them will die and some of them will take over as the stronger. You know, that's just the way it goes.
Mm. We only have about 2 minutes left, and as always,
we need an hour.
Well, I think so, too.
Right now, we need an hour for spring.
I think so, too. Picking and planting trees. I'm going off your list, by the way, of things to talk about.
So, right, again, so you want to make sure that you are getting a tree that gets the size you want. Like, I see people who put, you know, maple trees that get 50 feet wide, 5 feet off the corner of their house. So, like, know what you need. Like, know, is it sunny or shady? Like, how big do you want the tree to get? Like, just like we have genetic capacity, so do trees. Like if it's from a nursery that has it marked right, which is another thing, then you're going to be able to say, how big will this tree be at maturity? And somebody's going to be able to answer you and be like, oh, that's going to get too big for what I need.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then again, what we discussed earlier about planting them right, you know, water once a week, not every day. You can always have a landscape consultant, you know, come to your property.
I have roots going under my driveway.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a speed bump.
Yeah.
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 And I hate to
Exactly. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's your surface rooters. It's probably a maple tree or one that gets real big. And that's part of it, too.
Yeah. It's been there for 40 years. So.
Yeah.
Well, Erica Jo Schaefer, it's always good talking with you.
You too, Scott, and everyone else, too.
That was very good. That was very good. And where are you going to put the recipe?
I can. It's actually Martha Stewart's recipe at Strawberry Shortcake Cookies.
Okay.
So MS Living, I think, is her.com.
Do you want to put it on?
Yeah, I can put it on the thing.
Spark Facebook page, too, because we always have
people asking. Should I include the dandelion petal icing?
Yes, definitely. Let's do the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Hey, thanks for being with us today.
Such a pleasure.